Right, let's do the questions. I've set it all out in the old way, so we're all going. Everything's in order. We're not going to have an accident this week, and hopefully the sound's okay. Is the sound still good? Someone. I'm going to assume the sound is good. Nobody's been saying things like, the sound is really bad, so that's probably good. Right. Yes, Hillary says the sound is good. Good, right. Ali's question. Please could you advise if stopping postal votes in advance of the next general election, and in particular London mayoral vote, could be possible? Yes. Without it, I don't think Calm would even be there. And I think people have legitimate concerns about postal voting. Every democracy must defend itself. It must defend the legitimacy of its voting. The hysteria we have seen over the idea that you must provide ID has been utterly ridiculous. People who are incapable of getting free ID from the state are probably not capable of going to a polling station. It's not that hard. And what we need to do is respect democracy and respect voting, because voting matters and you are important. And when we don't respect democracy, you end up with, Keir Starmer and this government, really. I would like us to take more action on postal votes. Obviously, this government won't. So we might want to look for a future government that will. And we might want to start banging on about it. It's another one that we might want to take to our MPs and just really raise this. I have to warn everybody. I think London is in a terrible state. I think the elite of the city do vote for Khan. I don't think it's just some sort of vote rigging. I think what's happening is that we're seeing what I call neo-feudalism, new feudalism. There are a lot of people in the city, people I have to spend time with socially, who see themselves as absolutely superior to ordinary people. And it breaks my heart, because if you're on this, you probably know a bit about me. And I'm mostly motivated by my granny, who had to leave school at 14 and went to work and lived in a council house and eventually bought her council house, which was the proudest thing she ever did. And she had a Reader's Digest subscription. Don't know if anybody remembers those. But that, because of that Reader's Digest subscription, she had books, and she had in her little council house, she had a little library with books in. And I grew up in a house without books. So those are the only books I ever really saw. And that was new to me. And that was probably where I got my love of libraries from, because we would spend a lot of time sitting in her. It's just her back room, really. She had a front room with the telly on, but she didn't really like me to be near the telly because I was a small child and you know how things were. And she was mostly in the kitchen or, you know, cooking. So I'd sit in the back room with all the books. So it probably has had a profound effect on me and libraries. But I don't understand why they think they're superior to you. I've met them. I've been to their parties. But I think they do think that they're superior. And I think that is the fundamental problem. But I think we should protect the democracy. And I think we should really, really hammer down on postal votes. I think unless you can show a real medical reason for needing a postal vote, I think it needs to stop. Obviously, there are concerns, not least of all with coercive and controlling behaviour. I always defend local Muslims, because I think that in their young girls in particular are a future. They want to be modern and Western, but obviously I don't want some overbearing dad making them all vote a certain way. That's not fair. So I think we do have legitimate concerns over postal votes. Dave, should the Chief Justice resign? Well, I sort of said that in my piece. I'm pretty sure I did. She doesn't need to resign. She can always retire early. But I think she's massively overstepped the mark. If she does it again, I'm going to absolutely hammer her. But I strongly suspect she's got the lesson now. Could we instigate a public inquiry for the mistreatment of prisoners? This is going to come up again, and we will return to this. John, could you comment on the emerging evidence that Lucy Letby has been wrongfully convicted? Have you seen the expert panel presentation? I haven't, because I am very upset with the way that that barrister, who I know, to be fair to him, the last time we interacted, he told me I was wearing a very nice suit, which was my old grey pinstripe, which I'm afraid I'm too big for nowadays. But probably tells you how long ago that interaction was, but I do know him. I don't think that's how you behave. I think this is the court of public opinion. I don't really like it. If he has evidence, he should go to the Court of Appeal immediately, or the Criminal Cases Review Commission. We have many methods in this in our system for finding out miscarriages of justice should they occur. We the whole system is designed to prevent miscarriage of justice. I don't personally believe there's enough in Lucy Letby yet to suggest that there has been. And I would rather not have faith in the justice system attacked when we have lots of legitimate methods of challenging the conviction. And a large press conference is not, to my mind, a legitimate method. So, sorry, John. I'm also conscious of there's a phenomena where people don't... A lot of people want to believe women are lovely, because women like Denise and Hillary and everybody here and Samantha and everybody else is lovely. Petronella. But not all women are lovely. And so you get a phenomenon which I call Frank Pakenham syndrome, which is not terribly nice to Frank Pakenham. But Frank Pakenham, I think he was the Earl of Pakenham. He was a very distinguished man. I think he was the dad of Antonia Fraser, or he's the dad of somebody vaguely famous. And he was obsessed with the idea that Myra Hindley was a good person, and it consumed him. And he spent his entire life thinking that she was a good person, and his entire life she spun him along and was always promising that she'd tell him where the bodies were, and she never did. She absolutely spun him along. It was a complete lie. She basically tortured Frank Pakenham, and the way that she tortured him was to use his goodness against him. So be very careful with Lucy Letby, because it could be, and I see it, I see something in, I can't remember his name now, but that journalist, Peter Hitchens, I see something in his eyes, and it all looks a bit Frank Pakenham to me. So I just be careful of this. Unfortunately, very, very sadly, not all women are lovely. Some women are just as bad men. It's just, that's just how it goes. Jane, can you please comment on the balance of justice being heavily weighted in favour of perpetrators? It's disturbing that victims are not sufficiently protected and often have to relive experiences in front of the perpetrators. That is our system. So our system, Jane, is based upon the idea that it's better for 100 guilty men to go free than for one innocent man to be convicted. That's why I probably have more faith in Lucy Letby's conviction than others, because I know that's our system, and I know that that will have played out. I don't even need to particularly pay attention. And there was an excellent judge there, and, you know, a bit like I had faith in Mr. Justice Goose before we even sort of saw him. And then he gave that brilliant sentencing, and I just went on Martin and just said, look, my faith's been absolutely proved right. He's brilliant, isn't he? Because he was. So I have faith in the judicial system. It's unfortunate that that's the way. It's also because victims are not prioritised deliberately. If you prioritise victims, you can get a bit vengeful and a bit retributiony. And being a fundamentally Christian-based system, we didn't like that idea. So crimes are crimes because they are wrongs against the state. Crimes are prosecuted by the king or queen because of the harm done to the nation. They are not between a victim and a perpetrator. I know that language has decayed. I think it's really unfortunate that language and that understanding has decayed. I've seen governments on all sides, blue, yellow, red, pandering to that idea. But it's not a healthy one. It's not a particularly healthy one. Yes, the system should protect victims. And actually, the message that victims should get is that judges do. I mean, judges like Mr. Justice Goose do not allow victims to suffer. That is just not what happens. So, unfortunately, we made a conscious choice. If you want to balance it the other way, I just think we'll end up as an evil society. So a society where you have to prove your innocence is not a fun one, trust me. I was talking to somebody high up in the military, and I just said, well, of course, in order to enjoy being a free society, we'll just have to tolerate the fact that there are going to be spies here. And he was just like, yes, sorry, we will. We could get rid of all foreign spies if we wanted, but what we'd need to do would be so awful. You wouldn't want to live here. You just wouldn't want to be that country. We could end all crime, but again, you wouldn't want to be that country. So we sort of have to accept imperfection. And one of the problems with the left or the liberals at the moment is that they are trying to build utopia. And this is always a bad idea because it never works, largely because we can't agree on what utopia is. But the every attempt to build utopia is ends up with a Pol Pot or a Mao or a Stalin and a lot of dead people. So attempting to build utopia, very bad idea. Hillary. Hello, Stephen. And Hillary waves her hand in her message. We're just such nice people. This is like the best. Hillary's got two questions. What a shocker, Hillary. If it was illegal, a crime under maritime law, to leave a person, persons in distress and fail to rescue them from the vessel in the water, does that mean that all those who bring illegal migrants ashore, having rescued them in accordance with the maritime law, are still committing a crime facilitating the errors of the country? Phew, that was hard to frame. RNLI. So, yes, I think it does. So, the two points that I want to make about this question is that don't use the phrase maritime law, because it's just what I do is I would like to have as few phrases as possible, because I think I hate complexity. Complexity causes confusion. Confusion causes the collapse of understanding and the collapse of law. So let's just call it international law, because it's the same thing. It's not different just because it's, you know, a bit salty. It's not different. It's just international law. So we're talking about international law. Right. We should by now have a pretty good grasp that international law is only binding here if we say it is. So if it stays in international law that you have to rescue those in peril on the sea, as the song goes, then that doesn't matter if we unincorporate it from our law. If we push it away, send it off, expelliarmus, you go. And then we can just ignore it. And indeed, in that case in the 60s that I cited when I pointed this out in The Spectator and all the lefties went mad, that was international law about, it was the Geneva Convention of the Sea. And we just unincorporated it and off it jolly well trotted. It doesn't apply here anymore. So we can get rid of it, is the first point. Second point is you can get conflicting laws. So you can get a duty to do something that also ends up technically being a crime. And it may very well be that the RNLI has done something wrong. Now, I'm not saying they definitely have, because that would be insane and I don't want to get sued by the RNLI. But when you have overly complicated legal systems, you get a lot of what I call accidental crimes. And that phenomenon has itself been exploited. So I live near a dentist, which I believe is committing a criminal offence. That's not their fault. I haven't told them. I'm under no obligation to do so, and I don't want to ruin their day. But they have set up basically a domestic insurance system so that you can buy a product from them so you don't have to pay for, and you get a certain amount of insurance for your dental work. That looks to me like an insurance product. Selling insurance products is regulated. Selling regulated products when you don't have a license from the Financial Conduct Authority is a crime. We call it a breach of the general prohibition. It carries 5 years in prison. It's quite a serious crime. And I think it's happening near me accidentally. And I would rather simplify the legal system. I think I'm going to call for this now and start calling for it. David Starkey was calling for it last night. And it's about time a lawyer joined him. The legal system is far too overly complex. We are creating accidental crimes. And therefore, we can't be hysterical about crimes either. There was a period, particularly in Cakegate and Partygate, where, you know, it felt like if you could prove the breach of any tiny little rule, then that was a scandal, a terrifying scandal. And I'm aware that all the right-wing think tanks got letters threatening legal action from somebody and an organisation I won't name. Over their cookies policy. And the premise was that they'd messed up some technicality of how you're supposed to do a cookies policy. Do you know anything about cookies law? I don't know anything about cookies law. And frankly, I don't want to have to learn it just to be able to explain it. But it just struck me as utterly ridiculous. And all these organizations ran round, they paid lawyers, many of them begged favors off me, and I did what I could, you know, but they were absolutely traumatized by the idea that there would be a front page story that they had breached a cookie law, you know, internet cookie nonsense. And it wasn't true. I didn't think it had any substance at all. And that was my advice. And I helped a few and we pushed back and nobody ended up getting sued because I think they were just wrong. But look at that mania. I mean, that's madness. The actual answer to that was for the whole nation to just go, we don't give a toss about cookie law. You know, we know that we're spied on every day. You have to have an account with every bloody organization. I have to have an account on my phone just to download software. I have to have an account on my phone to open an attachment. I mean, it's just ridiculous. the idea that cookies and cookie law is important. It's just nonsense. And I think we need to man up and just be a bit more tough about legal breaches and say things like, oh, well, technically, if you're in breach of this, it doesn't really matter. It is just a technicality. And I think that phrase needs to come back. I think we got where we are because we've been overly legalistic and overly relied on law. There was an incident in Canada recently where a 22-year-old man beat a 12-year-old girl in a race because he said he was a woman. And he said, well, there's no law in Canada that specifically bans me from doing this. And that's just an absurd situation, obviously silly. But it's proof that you can't use laws to run your society. You need something else. You need other stuff as well as laws. You need basic morality and common sense. And basic morality and common sense would not allow a 22-year-old man to run a competition against a 12-year-old girl. That's just not on. just no. And I don't need a law to tell me. So there's two phenomena there, aren't there, really? One, us being overly worried about laws that don't matter. And two, us ignoring obvious wrongs when there isn't a technical law. And that's, again, with Jonathan Reynolds. I'm not wholly convinced. Robert Jenrick seems quite convinced that a crime has been committed. I'm not terribly convinced it has. And I don't care. Jonathan Reynolds should not call himself a solicitor. I don't care if he's in breach of that or breach of this or not. Or, you know, oh, he's technically not in breach, therefore he's a good person. No, he isn't. He's awful. Absolutely awful man. And we need to get morality back. We need to get basic standards back and ideas back. And that will empower you all. Making everything legalistic just empowers lawyers. And really, we are just not the people you should be empowering. Hillary's second question. Zara Sultana, yeah. Are her aggressive comments regarding Nigel Farage enough to be considered inciting hatred or violence? Came very close, Hillary. What I would like to do is see some investigations, because I think that would have a calming effect on all of this. I think the police are far too slow to intervene, and I'd like to see some sort of action. That said, you know, that this is why Claire Fox and I don't see eye to, we never fall out, but we don't see eye to eye on freedom of speech laws, because she's an absolutist and I'm not. And I was not happy with what Zara Sultana said. That makes me a bit more censorship, certainly than Claire. I've always been a bit more sensitive to censorship than Claire and Toby. They're way more liberal than me. But I thought Zara Sultana went too far. Right, going to have to move this to get to the second page. A very dangerous asylum seeker in the UK who sexually assaulted a teenager cannot be jailed, as it would breach his human rights. I saw this. This is just ridiculous. Can we just get rid of human rights law, please? It's not really law. I tried to explain it on Twitter. Law, as we'll explore and learn, is a really complicated process of applying one rule after another. And particularly the area of, I mean, equity does do this. So we will learn it in equity. But I always think, when I think of this, I always think tort is the single best example of it. And we'll do tort after equity, because tort came second. When we learn tort, you will really learn the discipline of, right, this is the first rule, apply the first rule. Okay. This is the second rule, apply the second rule. Okay. This is the third rule, apply the third rule. And you have to do this chain of rules, boom, 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 until you can go yes or no at the end. You always only get to yes or no, but you have to do this whole chain of rules to get there. And human rights doesn't do that at all. It says, is this good or bad? It's like yes or no. That's not really law. And it's why these judges are making political decisions. It's a disgrace. It needs to stop. I think I'm so convinced that everybody now knows that we need to leave the Human Rights Act and get rid of the ECHR. That, I mean, the next big reality is when people realise just how much we pay for the whole thing. Because let me tell you, Strasbourg is not cheap. Okay? And basically, they're over there having a very jolly time, riding around in limousines, you know, blowing money like nobody's business. And we're all paying for it under the sort of mantra that they're somehow holy and better than the rest of us. I think it's all going to come out about Strasbourg, and I really can't wait. Samantha. Hi, Stephen. So following the atrocious scenes yesterday, yes. Yes, the bypass babies. What right does the idiot judge have to change the home immigration to fit Palestinians? I don't. So one of the problems I have with the Prime Minister's position is that he called it a legal loophole. And I think it's not a legal loophole. I think it's legal idiocy. So I just think the Prime Minister should be appealing. And Sue Carr has a point in that they should be appealing if they think the law's wrong. And I think the law is wrong. So appeal. And they're not, for some reason I don't understand, or he's refusing to confirm. That's what Kemi asked him to do, and he didn't. And then he said he will close this loophole. And it's like, well, you haven't. So when's that going to happen? Because, you know, TikTok. And I'm not at all happy. And I think, like a lot of people, we don't really want people from Gaza, because it's such a specific community that seems to be so systemically traumatized. I mean, we've just discovered today that the Baibas babies were killed by ordinary Gazans and held, and that hostages are being held by ordinary Gazans. This is a community, and I've seen what happens to the children. This is a traumatized community, and I think it would be naive to just accept refugees from that and expect them to expect it to work. You know, this is going to be something that requires more human intervention. Samantha is, like many of you, also traumatized at the treatment of Tommy Robinson. I am traumatized at the treatment of Tommy Robinson, even though I have no particular love for Tommy Robinson. I tend to believe that the state should be merciful and good regardless of who it is to, and regardless of whether I like them or not. I am not terribly convinced that the state is covering itself in glory in relation to Tommy Robinson. I think the entire thing looks to me like a cock-up. Somebody said that he's only in for a civil offence. That's not true. Sorry, just to get all nerdy. It was in the civil court, but you can commit a crime of perjury, effectively, brain fog. It's breaching a court order. It's, come on, Stephen. Contempt of court. Thank you. Yes, you can commit a crime of contempt of court in a civil court. And that's what he did. So he is only in prison for a crime. You can't go to prison for civil things. We got rid of that years ago. Although, interestingly, just in case anybody is interested, the first ever prisons were for civil debtors. They were for people who had owed money and couldn't pay it, which turned out to be a really stupid system, because they couldn't earn any money with which to pay their debt. So they just stayed in the prison, which was... anyway, you learn by doing. So, no, I am mortified at the treatment of Tommy Robinson. I'm trying to do all I can. He has lawyers. I'm not terribly impressed by them. It's their... But they are his... He is their client. I'm not sure how this will end, and I worry about it. I would... You know, once he's out... And it's all over. I think the country will be healthier because, you know, enough. But at the same time, you must follow court orders. You must do as a court tells you to do. You must not commit contempt of court. And I have to decide with that. I have to. That's otherwise I'm betraying the legal system, which I cannot do. So it doesn't matter how much that upsets anybody. I can't. Just so you all know where I am. Miss Gillian, for a future chat, can I ask what treason laws are still available and what one was it that Tony Blair scrapped while in power? Tony Blair just got rid of the death penalty for treason. He didn't get rid of treason laws, and we still have treason laws. We've got a variety of treason laws. We've also got misconduct in a public office, which I think we should really be using much more often than we are. And I think there should be investigations by the police into all sorts of things. At the moment, I would quite like an investigation by the Metropolitan Police into the BBC. Okay, and I don't think it should be shocking to call for investigations. If the police can conclude that there's nothing to see here, then so be it. The police conclude there's nothing to see here. But I think we are far too reluctant, or our police are far too reluctant, to go near certain things. And it's because they don't understand what being political is. So they think that being political is doing anything that gets attention and causes noise. So they don't want to do anything that gets attention and causes noise. If they investigate the BBC, that'll cause a lot of noise. Oh dear, we'll be being political. No, you won't be. You will be carrying out the law without fear or favour. And that's the opposite of being political. But unfortunately, the police don't understand that, and they're not listening to me. But that should answer, hopefully, treason. Maybe I'll do a piece on specific treason laws just to set them all out for you and what we've got. Paula, hi, Stephen. Question for Friday. Crime is taking a class action against the UK government for abjectly failing in their avowed responsibilities to keep us safe. Could you elaborate on why the course of action is no, please? See, this is, I do get this a lot. I get asked the same question again. We can't take a class action against our government because you cannot really sue them for money. How much loss would we say they had caused us? If they're failing to keep us safe, what's the financial loss there? It would all get ridiculously messy, but constitutionally, it's not possible because that would elevate judges above the government. And the Constitution does everything it can to not elevate judges above the government. That's why the Lady Chief Justice was wrong. She was arguing to elevate judges above the government. No, stop. Nothing in our constitution allows judges to be that powerful. In fact, and I would clip their wings even more. I would remove all sorts of powers from them. That does mean that they therefore don't become this great giant savior that you can turn to every time you're upset with the government. But that's our constitution. If you're upset with the government, you organize, you do what many in the Substack are now doing. You get local people together, you talk to and scare your MP, and you plan how you're going to vote, and you are activist. Democracy requires active, engaged participation, and our system is democracy. We could replace it with another one if we want to, but a judge-led dictatorship will certainly fall very quickly because the judges will fall out with each other. One of the judges will then get the brilliant idea of killing the others, and then somebody who's really good at killing, aka a Stalin or a Napoleon figure, will kill them and just get rid of them all and say, now I'm emperor. Ha. And we'll be under a dictator. We'll be under what's called a strongman dictator. Like the majority of human civilization throughout the majority of time, we've got to remember how precious democracy is, how rare democracy is, how much we value it. Okay, so we must take action. And I know it's slower. And I know it feels pointless sometimes, but it really isn't. And you've just got to use that system. We've got to keep it alive for the kids. Otherwise, we'll live in a country none of us wants to live in. That was the last question. So I'm going to scroll up in the chat a bit. Thank Chagos and everything else. Denise, I think the Chagosians need to take action, and I'm really upset that they haven't, but not for treason. I think they've got other arguments on self-determination and human rights ground. Yes, Denise, it is treat. I'm not happy with the treatment of Tommy Robinson. I'm not happy. And I don't know why he's in such a high category security prison. I don't know why he's in isolation. I don't know why NDAs are flying around like toffee. NDAs, which frankly I consider to be unenforceable. And I don't know why visits have been stopped. That seems inhumane. I don't know why there are rumours about his food and him losing weight. All of this is wrong. You know, and I don't know why no one seems to care. And I feel as though there ought to be more attention to that. So I'm not without humanity. The judge lied. He said all the witnesses lied except the boy, even though they were on video. If we take Tommy's account, then there are serious questions. And the judge would no doubt disagree. And that's why we have a process. So there should have been an appeal process or some sort of investigation into what happened. Unfortunately, judges have an awful lot of power in finding fact, and that's just true. But that can be challenged in the Court of Appeal, and Tommy should have done that. Just breaching the order is not the way to do it. And I have to say that, and I believe that. I fear they want Tommy. They'll be idiots if Tommy dies. If Tommy Robinson dies, they are fools. They are absolute morons who don't know how to run a human society, because you do not make martyrs. It's just, even if you hate Tommy Robinson, you do not martyr him, because you are an idiot if you do it. Throughout human history, the Roman emperors who were idiots and tried to suppress Christianity, and it's like, oh, dear Lord, no. And just like, that's why Christianity succeeded. So you just don't do it. So I really hope that Tommy Robinson stays safe. I'm seeing that a lot of people are supporting him, so I do get that. Babies. I can't look at that. I keep crying. I'm sure everybody does, and it's not about me. We did a little vigil at the beginning for the Bypass Babies, and particularly for Yarden, the dad. I don't understand how he copes or carries on or breathes. I mean, he's just such a hero. He's like the strongest man in the world. cookies cache information to help your computer find the address of a website again, collect data about you, and your IP address. Yeah, I know, but we're so spied on, Hillary. Anyway, I just got very bored about cookies. Look, I was just grumpy. Starmer talked about international law, but they managed to tell us we have the choice to incorporate. Yes, they ignore incorporation. They just ignore it. And they ignore me when I talk. When I started, they all piled on me and said I was wrong. And then the Supreme Court said I was right. So I was able to do a Yabu sucks to you. Incorporation does matter. And now we've moved on to stage three, which is pretend Stephen doesn't exist. So they just ignore me. And it's just, it's absolutely risible. Elon was saying that somebody had discovered that if you don't need to change the law if you just start changing how it's enforced. And that's true. If you just start ignoring law, it's not really there. That's one of the major problems. And I think that's what they're doing with incorporation. They just do want to pretend it's not there. Pretend Stephen's not there. And everything will be fine. Sandra, I'm sorry about your dad. That does sound awful. And these stories stay with us, don't they? I mean, I'll be loyal to my granny till I go. She had a huge impact on me. I used to go up and spend all the summers with her. Tom called us low IQ troglodyte people. Well, he's wrong. He was very nice to small person. So small person stole his chips. And small kept giggling and thinking this was hilariously funny. And I was absolutely mortified. And he was actually very good about it. So I have a soft spot for Mr. Harwood because of how nice he was with small person. Stephen, I today reported Reynolds to the SRA. Got a nonsense reply to them. They would like to take this forward. What should I do? David, I think, I mean, because the Shadow Lord Chancellor's on it, I'm just going to leave it to him. And they sort of kind of ignore him. This is a feature, again, of regulators. A lot like the police, they don't want to do anything. They don't want to take action. And that's why they end up really functioning as mob rule. The whole system needs to go of independent regulator. Right. Sorry, this is very boring while I just scroll up. Lawful evil, yes. Right, good. I've done it. I think I've done everything. Brexit betrayal. Yeah, the sellout is looking horrendous, but they're going to notice that. How can we push back in the government? Apple, the same way we must go talk to our MPs and we must get groups of locals together. We must have Facebook pages. We're about to go into a local election period in May, and that is when everybody will be scared. So if you've got a local election coming up, your MP is going to be even more scared. And what you should do is write to your local councillor and say really scary things about them and that you're going to vote this way or that way because of your MP. And then your councillor will run to your MP and say, oh, my God, you're going to cost me my council seat. And that will have an effect. That's what I mean by using the democratic system. We've got to learn. We've got to become sophisticated again. We've got to learn to pull on their little strings. But I can tell you, I can promise you, they are terrified of elections. And so you just use that terror against them. Okay. And they are terrified of Facebook. So if you put up a negative post on a Facebook page, they will screenshot it and WhatsApp it around to all of the local activists and they will have management discussions about it and they will be scared. You'll see nothing, but believe me, you'll have caused a little earthquake throughout the whole system. So I just want you to know that they want to give you the impression that you have no impact, because otherwise, then if everybody knows, oh dear, that could be a nightmare for them. But I can promise you, hand on heart, they genuinely care about you. Good. What did Michelle say that everybody's agreeing with? Yes, I think so, actually. And David was talking yesterday about instinct. And I'm always quite interested in instinct, because as you can probably, it's difficult to argue that I'm badly educated, although people on Twitter try. For all the value of education and what we call intellect, I'm not sure it's the be all and end all to much in life. I think there are much more important virtues. I think, unfortunately, we bully people who are intelligent, so I'm not in trying to encourage or incite that. I just think intelligence really isn't as important as people say it is. There are very, very intelligent people who never achieve anything, and that's fine. I think instinct is, you've got to remember, intelligence and learning is only, I mean, how old is it? 8,000 years? And that's nothing, really. It's probably 8,000, maybe 10. You could argue 10. I'm sticking with 8. maybe fewer. Anyway, it's not very old. And it takes ages for our species to evolve. And we haven't had the same education system for 8,000 years. We've just had basic intellectual thought for 8,000 years. I therefore don't think intelligence and education has had that much impact on us as a species, whereas instinct has been with us since the beginning. So if we split off 200,000 years ago from the great, you know, tree of primates and became special, we probably still had instinct then, before then. So you can trace instinct all the way down that family tree of primates, because instinct kept us alive when we didn't have books and learning and writing and computers. Instinct mattered. So I think instinct has a huge part to play. And I noticed that all the bad people in our civilization always want you to ignore your instincts. There's got to be something about that. That cannot be coincidental. That, you know, we get to the bad situation by ignoring our instincts. Nobody can look at these so-called drag queens who go near children and go, oh, that feels great. Nobody feels that. Nobody can. All of us are screaming internally, oh my God. See, it's just instinct. I think it's very important. I think it's why common sense is important. I think it's why our country in particular, which is a very successful country, has never been intellectual and never really valued intellectual. I also think that we need to point out, for when people use the counter argument and say educated people are the best people in the world since sliced bread, Yabu sucks to you, Stephen, that probably the most intellectual human society was the pre-war German society. I mean, the Germans got incredibly intellectual, and that's why, you know, all of the philosophers and political science, all of these ideas are all German. And all the great classical music, you know, it's just that Germany starts to really come to a fore at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century as an intellectual powerhouse. And then it murdered millions of its own citizens. So maybe intellectualism isn't that great, you know, just maybe. I ignored my instinct, real life changing decision, and it was a disaster. Exactly, Sandra, exactly. Yes, and Stephen, I'm never going to say that academics are gods, because I'm adopted by one and I was raised by others. I love them. They are amazing people, but I wouldn't give them any power. And they're so bad at it. They can't. I mean, they fall out all the time. So every single Oxford and Cambridge college will have drama going on where they're all falling out with each other and having arguments and don't like each other. It's like a soap opera. All of them are soap operas. I mean, sometimes they go really bad and the college just ceases to function because they're all just having arguments all the time. It's hilarious. It doesn't happen in my college. My college was peaceful and well run and by a very good, very nice man. But I've seen other Oxford colleges just go completely off the wall. So yes, the idea that intellectuals and academics are geniuses is, I'm afraid, not a good idea. Right. Does anybody have a last final question? If not, I shall poodle off. But good numbers this week. Yeah, exactly, Sandra. Exactly. The universities won't work, so how clever are they? Nutters. I'll see you all next week, and there will be an episode of Your Constitution this weekend. There will be another episode of Stephen Teaches next week. There'll be another episode of A Pair of Briefs next week, and there will be as many paid articles as I think are interesting, and I'll do as much as I can to be free content. But again, that message, it's the paid subscribers are the backbone of all of this. They are keeping everything going. I am really grateful to every paid subscriber. You are the heroes. Thank you very much. Have a lovely weekend, everybody.